Adicophobia, or the fear of failure, is something that I think everybody at some point in their life is dealing with, whether it's personal or in dog training or dog trialing or whatever might happen. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How is the fear of failure hurting us in our desire to progress with our dogs, whether it be in competition or at home? Let's go ahead and talk about that next. Alright, welcome to this week's episode of the Learn, Laugh, Bark podcast. I am your host, Jake, from OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. If you're interested, jump over to that website and check us out. We're new. We're starting to put out courses, mini courses. We're going to be putting out some webinars. We're really excited about what we're going to be putting out there, and we're just starting out. So we really would appreciate jumping over to our website at OnDogTrainingAcademy.com, hit that subscribe button, subscribe to our email list, and we will send you out updates as things start to progress. We're pretty excited about the information that we're wanting to put out for people. Help us out here. Check out our website. You can check us out on Facebook as well, OnDogTrainingAcademy.com. You can also check out the Learn, Laugh, Bark podcast on Facebook and on Instagram. And on there, we ask for you guys, submit things you'd like us to talk about. We get really good input from you guys already, but we're looking always for more. I have tons of ideas, but I love to hear about what you guys would like me to talk about more. Also, I hope you guys had a good holiday season. It is now getting close to the new year. I think when this episode airs, it will be the 30th, I want to say. And so we're getting close to the new year. Hopefully everyone had a really good holiday season, was able to spend time with their friends and family, both two-legged and four-legged. And we took an extra week off just to kind of enjoy stuff. Didn't do a podcast last week. So thank you guys for sticking around and not getting too upset that we didn't do one last week. Anyways, this week's episode I think is going to be a really good one because I think this is something that affects all of us. I think all of us in some element, not just in our like life away from our animals, but in our animals' lives as well. I think the fear of failure just seeps in to our life, and I feel like it really does affect us being able to reach our dog's potential. And so we're going to be talking about some of this. So what I did is I actually went to a website called verywellmind.com and was doing a bunch of reading on just the fear of failure in general. And just like I've done in the past, I started to spin it into how this affects us as dog owners and how we can hopefully improve on this. Because I do think this is a really, really big deal when it comes to the progression of our dogs, whether it be training or behavior. So let's go ahead and just start talking about it. So the fear of failure, it's pretty self-explanatory in a sense. We'll dive into it a little deeper, but it's basically, you know, you get anxiety, you feel helplessness, you feel powerless, and you don't want to push through certain things because you're afraid of failing. You know, obviously, fear of failure. And I think we all kind of deal with this, especially when it comes to our dogs. We don't want to take our dogs places. We don't want to jump into that trial and see what's going on. And I think that's just really possibly just a negative thing that could happen to our animals. So how are we identifying the fear of failure? Well, there's a whole bunch of them that are listed on this website. I'll touch on a few of them. Believing that you don't have the skills or knowledge to achieve something. So this like as a professional, as a dog training professional, we call this imposter syndrome. You don't feel good enough to be able to do whatever it is that you're trying to do. We suffer from this from time to time. I think any pet professional at some point feels like, oh my God, do I belong here or am I good enough? We are, and we can help people, but I think sometimes we get in our own heads and just that you don't think, well, I just can't do this, when really you can. You absolutely can. And it's very normal for a lot of pet professionals, especially, to feel this. But I think also with people who are wanting to go trial or compete with their dogs, they're like, well, you know, you see these other scores and stuff, and you're like, I can't compete with that. I'm not that good. I'm not ready. I shouldn't be out here yet or whatever. And you start to not believe in yourself. And I think that's just a big issue. The next one is feeling like you won't be able to achieve your goal. You prep and you do all this stuff, and then when it's time to test it, and again, whether this is like behavior issues at home, or let's say your dog's afraid of people, and you've been doing a bunch of training with your dog, and you're ready to test it, and then company's coming over, it's a perfect opportunity to test your training, and instead of testing your training, you just kennel your dog and you just leave him in there because it would be too much work, or it'd be too stressful, or you're worried that all that time and energy put into it won't pan out and it won't work. And for trial and competition people, God, we deal with this all the time. You know, you always get into your own head like, oh my God, well, my dog struggles with these things. What if he doesn't do all of them? And I just look completely foolish out there. So it's definitely, you know, that's another big identifying marker. Procrastinating to the point that it affects your performance and ability to finish on time. This, I think, because personally, I don't think we should put like concrete timetables when it comes to like behavior modification or training in general, just because dogs are living, breathing creatures, obviously, and we can't necessarily rush things. Dogs learn and develop at different paces. But still, procrastinating, I mean, who doesn't, right? Who doesn't go, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll train that tomorrow, I'll go out and do a track tomorrow, or I'll take my dog out on a walk tomorrow. I mean, how many of us do this? I think it's definitely something. Now, is it a fear of failure? Maybe not, but procrastinating definitely is us kind of worrying or just not having the energy or excitement to go out and put that time in. The next one is telling people that you will probably fail so that the expectations remain low. I can honestly say I am guilty of this to a point. Now, in dog training, I don't think I'm guilty of saying I'm going to fail. Like, if I go out and compete with a dog, I always keep saying it. I'll tell people, and anyone who knows me has heard me say this. I go out and I just want to pass. I keep saying, well, I just want to pass. I'm competing for my level 3. Well, I just want to pass. And I say that to kind of prep myself for like, well, if I don't do well, I have faith that I'm going to pass, but if I don't do well, I can go, well, you know what, I achieved my goal. But internally, and I can say this 100% fact, internally, I'm going, I want to put up a bomb score and beat everybody. I've done this my entire, I'm a competitive person, so I want to go out and put up a big score and beat everybody. But externally, I'm telling people, I just want to pass. I just want to get, you know, a good score, you know, or I just want to, you know, whatever. I just want my dog to do good and have fun out there and whatever. And so, you know, telling people you're going to fail, I think it does put that little bit of negative energy in your head and can definitely affect your performance on the fields or even at home. The next one is worrying that imperfections or shortcomings will make other people think less of you. We get so caught up in other people judging us, and especially for some reason, strangers. We get so worried about strangers. You take let's say your dog's got issues with, again, I'll just keep using issues with people as the example, and you could throw this into any example, any other behavior, but let's say your dog has an issue with people. You take your dog in the community, and your dog starts to bark at people. Well, is it embarrassing? Yeah, you might be embarrassed a little bit, and you get embarrassed because of the way other people are judging you, you know, or people are making you feel less just by, or even if they don't, you just feel embarrassed by the situation. And again, that causes us to basically like clam up and push everything inside and basically just be like, well, I don't want to do that again because I didn't like the feeling. The next one is worrying that you will disappoint others if you fail. Again, I feel like to a degree, I'm definitely like this. I do have a fear of failure when it comes to disappointing others. You know, so like we do board and train stuff, and I can tell you for a fact, when dogs are going home, I don't feel like they're good enough. And I'm worried that the owners are going to not notice or you know, acknowledge and like the changes and the progress the dog has made. Now, if I actually sit down and think about where we started, and this is something everybody should be doing with their dogs and their training, whether you're trialing or you're at home, you know, with behavior issues, look at where your dog started. Look at where, like for me, I look at where that client dog started and where that dog is now. And if you see progress, I don't care if it's giant progress or a little bit of progress. If you see progress, be proud of that progress. I put a lot of stress on myself to push me and the dogs as far as we possibly can. But in the end, you just want to see progress. If you don't see progress, then obviously we need to reevaluate what we're doing. But as long as you're seeing things, little tiny victories will lead to giant success. I tell this to people all the time. Don't look, it's like baseball. You're not going to hit a home run every single time. Sometimes you have to take a walk. You have to bunt. You have to do base hits. Yeah, you'll get doubles and triples sometimes, but those are rare too. You just have to basically dink and dunk your way to just getting to the goal you want. And yes, I'm using a sport analogy because, well, I'm a sports nut and that's just how I like to talk. But it, you know, you understand kind of what I'm saying. And I think just we're always just worried about, you know, disappointing people, get, you know, whatever. And it just, it all just kind of leads to us not wanting to do anything just because we're afraid to fail, whether it's our own creation or whatever. We're just afraid to fail. The other thing when it comes to kind of a symptom of the fear of failure, and I think, again, I believe tons of us definitely deal with this, is it leads us to not even try. If something seems too hard, we go, well, I'm just not going to try. They're afraid that it'll try and not succeed. You know, they simply decide not to try at all in order to prevent potential pain, embarrassment, disappointment, whatever it might be, but you're just afraid to even try something with your dog. Like, I'm talking myself right now with my own dog. I'm talking about getting my dog into doing tracking, but not just your traditional tracking deer, wounded deer for hunters. And that is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I'm now finally starting to talk myself into doing it. I've always been worried to start it because what if my dog doesn't do well, or it could be hard, or puke, 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 whatever excuses I would find and throw out. So I have now decided, you know, I'm just going to do this. Now, fairness, I'm all talk right now, but I am telling myself, and I've been pumping myself up, that this is going to happen. I'm going to do this. I do the same thing when I'm leading up to, like, going to the gym, starting to work out, lose weight, whatever, where you have to kind of talk yourself up first and get yourself excited to do it, and then you can jump in and do it, and you just have that push and that motivation. So now let's talk about what causes this fear of failure to pop up. Why is it so prevalent in our life? But more importantly, why is this in our dog's life? So on this website, like I said, this is the verywellmind.com website. You just got to search, what is the fear of failure? It looks like that's what it's their article is called. And they say critical upbringing. You know, people who grow up in households that are highly critical or unsupportive may be more likely to experience the fear of failure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think when it pertains to, like, dog people, and especially behavior people, I guess we'll talk about both behavior and sport people, it's not so much our upbringing. I mean, granted, yes, this definitely can be part of it. But I also think, you know, when behavior things pop up for our clients, I think our clients are quick to jump in and start researching it. Like, and they realize how hard and how difficult, and some places will say, well, your dog can never be better or never do this or that. And it immediately, like, there's just not a lot of support when you're doing specific readings, and it just makes people feel bogged down. And they're like, well, I can't do it. There's no point in even trying. I just read this article that says it's super hard. Nothing's impossible when it comes to dogs. You can get dogs to do and be a lot of different things. And I always tell people, you have to try. You have to at least try. And when it comes to sports stuff, you know, I think unsupport, I don't know, highly critical. Yeah, I guess you could say highly critical, but I think more of this is like, and I train with people that are like this, and I'm personally like this, where I want to go out and put up just bomb scores. I want to go out there and win and be proud, but not only proud of what I've done, I want other people to be like, dude, that was really a good competition. So instead of it being like your upbringing or unsupport, it's almost just like kind of the community that you put yourself into. You know, I'm competitive, so I tend to put myself into groups with competitive people, and their pressure sometimes pushes, but sometimes also kind of squashes your desire or your nerve. You're like, oh, I don't want to fail, you know, and so you get a little nervous with it. You know, the next one is definitions of failure. So people often have different definitions of what failure means. For some people, it means not achieving something exactly as they planned, and this can create some of the expectations that is very difficult to live up to. Like, so if you're like, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get a perfect score, and then you lose a point and you're like, well, there goes the perfect score. You're basically, if you're like, I want to go out there and put up a perfect score or whatever, you're basically saying I have to go out there and do everything absolutely perfect or it's a fail. I didn't do well. So you put these goals for yourself so high. And I do think sometimes putting these goals high is a good thing. It pushes you. It pushes you and you lose a point, but you're like, well, I've got to train better and be better to get that point back. But at the same time, it's putting some awfully lofty goals onto yourself. And, you know, let's just say out of 100, you get a 99 or a 98. And most people are absolutely thrilled about it. And you're disappointed. It's just sad. It's sad that you can put up such an awesome score, but because of the expectations you have put on yourself, it's just tough. It's you're not taking in the victory. And I think that's definitely a problem. You know, and for people who are with pet dogs, I think it's kind of the same thing. You look and so let's say you have a dog who's, let's say you have a dog who's really dog aggressive. Your goal, you put this lofty goal of, well, I want my dog to like every dog and play with every dog and be fine with all dogs and all this stuff. And you put that as your goal. And sometimes goals like that just aren't achievable. Now, you could put a goal in place of, I just want my dog to be able to be around other dogs without freaking out, without embarrassing me, without that. I think those are really good goals to have. But, you know, sometimes putting these big, lofty goals or unrealistic goals, that can lead us to almost just shell up and just gel up and not even move and not being able to even try to get to the goals that we want to. The next one then is trauma. People who experience a difficult or even traumatic failure may also be very afraid of repeating that experience. This to me is huge, huge, huge. This to me is more for pet people, but sport people as well, 100%. For pet people, your dog attacks another dog. It was really traumatic for you. Understand that. And so you're like, I never want to feel that again. So you avoid those situations. Even if it's a controlled situation, just the thought of your dog being around another dog that it doesn't know gives you anxiety and fear. And so that trauma just sticks with you. And trust me, I've been there. I've absolutely been there. You know, and it just kind of sticks with you and it makes you not want to push through it. It makes you not want to continue because you're like, I don't want to feel this way ever again. For sport people, it's the same thing. Your dog goes out there and embarrasses you. And instead of pushing through it, you're like, I don't want to experience that ever again. I felt embarrassed. I felt foolish. I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. So that imposter syndrome starts to sneak back in. Like it just smacks you straight in the face. And you're like, I don't want to do that again. And then even if you continue to train and stuff, the fear of failing, that trauma that it caused gets you stuck and you just can't push into wanting to trial again. So that's that to me. Trauma is a big one. And trauma not in like, oh, well, you know, you got hurt or anything. I mean, you could, but it's just the emotional toll that it took on you. So now let's talk about the impacts of the fear of failing. What can the fear of failing bring to you? What can it do for you? Or do for you? It sounds like it's a good thing. What can it do? Well, it can lower your self-esteem. People who fear failure may also engage in negative self-talk or low self-confidence. Confidence is huge. Whether you believe it or not, confidence is massive. You see it in dogs. Dogs with poor confidence or no confidence, they struggle. But dogs who are super confident, they exceed and they do really well. Or at least they're happy, you know? And so that's something to kind of remember. Like low self-esteem can be, this fear of failure can bring some really low self-esteem. Poor motivation. We talked about that already. You're like, I'm going to get up and train my dog, but because of the fear of failing, because of all this different stuff, you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sit on the couch and look at my phone or do something else. Self-sabotage. You know, the self-sabotage thing, I think what happens is, especially for like people who are competing, they don't train hard enough in a sense where like, the dog is doing something bad, and instead of trying to work through it because it was embarrassing or whatever, they just kind of let it go, and they're like, whatever, you know, I'll get to it later. And then it leads to later never coming, and then you're trying something, and that issue happens again. You knew it was an issue, but because it was hard to work on, you didn't work on it, and the dog got exposed again, and that's a problem. And that's behavior and competition stuff. You know, and then of course shame when you don't succeed. You know, in the sport I do, you know, I've been very successful in it. So I do feel like if I fail, if I don't live up to what I've put on myself and not what others have put on myself, but just my accomplishments have put on myself, if I don't live up to those, sometimes that can really push you down and make you not want to train and make you, you know, not want to go further. And you just have that shame of like, man, I failed, you know, and failure's okay. And we're going to talk about that in a second. I actually think failure's good. And I've kind of embraced that, lately, not because I've been failing, but just because understanding it, I think, is really good. So how we cope with this? How do we cope with the fear of failing? How are we going to push through this? Well, the first one is considering the outcomes. You know, sometimes thinking about the worst possible outcome and then coming up with a plan on how you're going to deal with it can help reduce anxiety when you're pursuing your goals. So like in behavior stuff, you know, setting yourself up, making sure like, you know what, I need to have a win with my dog. So I'm going to go somewhere where, yeah, there might be people, but we're going to be a safe distance away, and it's going to be super successful. And we're going to have that win, and that's going to kind of slingshot us into trying again, maybe a little bit tougher next time. You know, and you learn to kind of, you know, consider the outcome. Well, if I go into this big crowd, my dog's going to have a problem. So let's take it back a little bit. Let's kind of go in and figure out, you know, let's start from a distance and work ourselves in. And with trialing, it's the same thing. I used to, when I would trial my dog in the sport I do, I would take the book and I would go, I wonder what my score could be. And I start going through each exercise and what I know my dog's abilities are. And I'd be like, you know what, I think he'll get a 6 or a 5 for healing. I think he'll get, you know, 20 points here, 30 points, whatever. And I start to kind of go through, and even without knowing the layout of the trial, I can sort of judge my dog in the training that we've done and where I think my dog is level wise. And I usually come up with a score that's within 5-6 points of what I actually was thinking I would get. And so I'm considering the outcomes. It also helps me train then. I'm like, okay, so this is obviously going to be a shortcoming. I need to make sure I focus on this part of it and improve this. This area is good, this area is good, this area is lacking. Let's focus on this and get this up a little bit, and hopefully the other ones stay good as well. Focusing on the things you can control. Instead of worrying about aspects of a situation that you have no power over, focus your energy on things that you can control. So at trials, I can control handling. I can control how I walk. I can control how I breathe. When you're doing stuff with your dogs for behavior issues or just training in general, what are things you can control? Well, to some degree, you can control the environment. As long as it's not somewhere out in public, you can control the environment. When you are in public, you can control your dog using a leash. You can have treats. You can control how far away from you are from people. Hell, you can even control people to a degree by telling them not to approach you and your dog. You know, those are definitely things I think help. Also, planning ahead. Plan ahead. You know, when you are facing a challenge, you know, trials, behavior stuff, whatever, that might trigger your dog's fear or your own fear of failing, work on developing alternative plans just in case. So with behavior stuff, be like, you know what, we're going to go to the park and we're going to work. But if we get there and it's too hard, I'm not going to go, well, I'm here, I might as well try. I'm going to go, let's curve around and try somewhere else. Let's plan ahead. Let's go to another plan. Let's go to plan B, plan C, plan Z. Don't care. But you're going to help be less anxious and more secure and successful if you have alternative plans to your thing. And the same with trialing. Like, I plan ahead. Like, okay, I'm going to get there and I'm going to walk the edge of the field. I'm going to exercise my dog. I'm going to get my dog in a good headspace. And then once I feel like we're in a good headspace, it almost, things start to just, you know, come together. And when we get out on that field, we're a unit, we're one, and we work. The last one then, when it comes to this, is, well, the last one, or I should say the one that I actually feel like is the big one that I have been doing lately, and this is redefine failure. I have embraced not being successful Failing, in my opinion, isn't necessarily not getting a qualifying score. I mean, if I don't get a qualifying score, I do think I failed. But even just getting a low qualifying score, for me, this is me personally. For you, it might just be qualifying. It's fine. It doesn't matter. But I'm redefining what failure is. And when I do fail, or if I do not, if I don't have a good trial, I don't go, well, darn, this sucks, I don't want to do this again. I take my failures, I look at my failures, and I go, where can I improve? Where can I get better? What did I see at this trial? For trials, I go, what did I see at this trial that's going to help me grow, help my dog grow, make it so that next time I go out there, this isn't going to happen. And I train with people who have done this, and they've done this beautifully, where they'll have an absolute just terrible performance, and then they come out the next time, and because they didn't let failing shut them down, they let failing motivate them, and it gave them insight that they came out and they just killed it. It was awesome. And they've killed it ever since. You know, and I do personally feel like, and this is going to go for both trialing or competition work and for home behavior stuff, you don't know until you try. You don't know if you've been training your dog with behavior work and you think your dog could be good, but you've never tried it, then you don't know. It's Schrodinger's cat, right? You don't know. So in order to know where your dog is at, you need to go out. And even if you put him into an easy situation, you need to put him into the situation that you're working on, whether it's competition or not. And that'll give you a good indicator. And then you can say, well, I went out, my dog handled himself pretty good until another dog got, oh, I don't know, you could say 15 feet. Handled being 30 feet away, but that dog got up to 15 feet and my dog had a problem. Well, if the dog before that wasn't handling a dog being 30 feet from them, take that as a small victory and be like, well, that's awesome. So what I'm doing is working, but we just have to do more of it. So just redefine your failing. Don't be afraid to fail. Take what you've failed on, learn from it, and go from there. And lastly, the last thing I'll kind of say here is just use positive thinking. You know, avoid negative self-talk that can undermine your confidence and create feelings of anxiety. Instead, try to work on thinking more like an optimist to keep your motivation high. I struggle with this from time to time. I tend to psych myself down or, you know, be like, oh, probably not going to, oh, my dog won't do that. It's just kind of what I've done. It doesn't mean I necessarily think I'm going to fail. It's just kind of how I've talked. I don't like it. I'd rather use more positive thinking, and it's something I've been trying to do more of, where it's like, oh, yeah, we can do that. Like when we're training and someone's like, you think your dog can retrieve this? I'm like, yeah, of course he can. Of course he can. It's almost cockiness, but at the same time, it's just me thinking positive and being just confident that my dog can do these. And if he can't, I go, oh, crap. Well, guess I got to train that. And I can promise you next time we meet, the dog will be doing it. You know, so you just have to use that positive thinking. Don't let people get in your head. You know, don't let people live there rent-free. It's not worth it. Don't let situations live in your head rent-free. You're not going to be able to improve unless you're willing to take these risks. You know, get out there, trial your dog. Get out there. See if the training you've been doing for whatever behavior stuff you're messing with or struggling with your dog, see if it pays off. See if it's working. And don't take, even if your dog reacts or even if your dog fails, don't take that as a failure. Learn from it, but also look at it and be like, well, this was a small victory here. This was a small victory there. You know, overall, the dog didn't do great, but there were areas I could see that we've been working on that improved. Build on those little improvements. Remember what I said earlier. Small goals lead to giant awesomeness, and this is what you want to get to. Create awesomeness. You can't hit that home run every time. So hopefully, guys, this was helpful for you. Hopefully, you learned a few things or thought of a few things, and hopefully this pushes you to get out and do these things with your dog. If there's anything you want to try with your dog, that's why it's called trying. You just try it. If it doesn't work, well, if it's not for your dog, it's not for your dog. But you know what? Try. And if you had fun and your dog had fun, do it again. But hopefully you guys you kind of get what I'm saying here. Hopefully you enjoyed this week's podcast. I'll be back to putting them out weekly now as we jump into 2022. Wow, that 2021 and just went super quick after 2020. So that's okay. Let's embrace 2022. Let's make it the year of trying new crazy crap with our dogs and having a lot of fun and not worrying about what other people think. I'll do it if you do it. So thank you guys for listening this week. Check us out on dogtrainingacademy.com for all of our course stuff that we're working on. Subscribe to our email list. And guys, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it here. I like hearing the comments and everything from our listeners. People seem to enjoy this. I enjoy doing this. So guys, thank you. And like always, we'll see you next week.